This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Orioles playing spring training baseball, though they were rained out today. Ravens speaking at the Combine tomorrow. Terps are the 16th ranked team in the country. It's a perfect time to head out to Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Talk to our buddy Cordell Woodland. And Cordell, thank you as always for spending some time with us. So let's start with the Ravens. What would you like to hear from EDC and Harbs tomorrow?
What would I like to hear for EDC, you know, I think it's all going to be most for both of those guys. Obviously, it's going to be a lot of Justin Tucker stuff. I don't know what's realistic to hear them say tomorrow. It'll probably be some sort of general statement that they both kind of repeat to get them to move on. I don't know how long it'll take before they actually do, but eventually kind of get an idea of where they are right now in the off season. Them going out there, I'm sure they've already talked to a couple of guys. In terms of the team right now, the guys like Patrick Ricard, and I wonder if they talk to anybody, you know, in terms of a pending extension or contract negotiation. So not really sure what to hear, but kind of would like to hear kind of a progress report of where they are in the offseason right now.
Eric DaCosta said at the season-ending press conference, not a ton of big decisions for him this offseason, but one of the decisions, their top impending free agent, is Ronnie Stanley. We're a couple weeks away from free agency. How do you see Stanley's offseason playing out, Cordell?
I think he's going to get the benefit of it being kind of a weak free agency mm-hmm. class. Not that Ronnie is coming off a really good year. It's perfect timing for him, and I think he's going to look to cash in on that. He took the pay cut last year, which is why he's a free agent right now going into this year. So I think the market is kind of going to set the price to the point to where it's going to make the Ravens decision for them. I think they'd be open to having Ronnie return, because I don't think they want to have, you know, do too much replacing on the offensive line for another consecutive year. So I think they'll try to get something done, but ultimately I think Ronnie goes where the money is, and I don't think it'll be in Baltimore.
Pass rush. Am I crazy to think that they will break from their traditional modes of roster construction and either package picks to move up and get one of the five or six best pass rushers in this draft, and or actually go out and pay somebody $20 million a year or close to it to rush the passer for them on the edge?
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see how much of a need they feel like it is, because I think everybody knows that they need an impact player on the edge for sure. Daniel Jeremiah doesn't think that they need to move up, so we'll see what they think, you know, in terms of how deep mm-hmm. this draft class really is, and can they get a game changer that late in the first round. Some teams have been able to do it. I think of guys like George Karloftis, and not that he's a premier pass rusher,
right,
but honestly, I think he's been better for the Chiefs than I expected him to mm-hmm. be. I knew he had a high motor, but he's kind of exceeded my expectations, and that was kind of in the same world that they were in at the time in terms of where he ended up getting drafted at. So if there's a guy there that ends up falling to them, I think they'll gladly take it. I still don't think that they're married to the idea of taking a pass rusher in the first round. I think safety could be on the board for them as well. But I would like to see if they do kind of a typical Ravens thing, which has been every now and then they will take a shot on a position that they deem to be premier on that side of the ball. And not just talking about in a draft, just even them going to get Earl Thomas was a shock to me. Going to get Marcus Peters was a shock to me. So we'll see if they kind of feel the need to make a move like that, because while this is a premier position in the league, they haven't necessarily felt like the position standing alone in its own standalone place is a premier position. I think they value getting after the passer, but as a unit, they haven't really shown that they're willing to just go get a guy that spearheads that operation.
Talking with Cordell Woodland's Inside Access here on the Fan. Cordell, the Terps are the 16th ranked team in the country as of today. Are you buying what they're selling?
Yeah, I mean, how could you not? They're playing some of the best ball in the nation right now. That starting five is for real. They're so tough to beat at home, and I mean, that won't do them much service here in a couple of weeks, but on Wednesday it will, going up against a Michigan State team that's tough, that won that battle against Michigan on Friday. So I think that I'm really excited to see what they look like on Wednesday. Like I said, they've been dominant at home, 16-1, but this will be a different test than the one that they have seen through this stretch since they've been playing their best basketball.
Well, what have you thought of this recent stretch, Cordell, where they're, don't get me wrong, they're still blowing out teams, but it seems like they haven't even needed their A game to do so.
Yeah, I mean, they've been able to score at a high clip. I mean, they flirted with 100 again the other day. The game before that, the starters had 95 points to themselves. So they've been able to just run it up. And at times, you know, they kind of get into a lapse because basketball is a game of runs. So they're no different. You know, every now and then a team gets a run on them. But to their credit, they've been able to respond. And that's what you like to see, because come tournament time, there's always those types of swings. And the other good part is that they're really good at the free throw line. And that's another thing that you look at, because you get into March, those free throws matter so much in those tournament games. We've seen so many teams blow games and steal games in the final minute or so because of just winning at the free throw line. So I just like where they are. They play confident. They play selfless. Everybody knows their role. Even the bench guys that come in and get 4 to 7 minutes a game, they're not coming out there trying to jack up as many shots as they can. They're coming out there playing defense, moving the ball, giving energy. I just like where they are as a complete team.
Not sure if you were able to listen. We had Freddie Gonzalez on last week. We've played some of the tape today through the show. He was pretty adamant that he was politicking with Brandon Hyde pretty hard, and I can only imagine Brandon Hyde was politicking with the GM pretty hard to get in somebody who had a more fiery temperament, a veteran who might be able to help these kids figure some things out last year heading into the trade deadline. And he was pretty surprised they didn't do anything along those lines then, and pretty surprised they didn't do anything along those lines now. You're in that clubhouse more than we are. Just your thoughts on that. He in particular was saying he thought Tommy Pham would have been exactly what the doctor ordered.
Well, I remember that train got started a little bit last year, just to have somebody that's willing to throw some hands out there. He trains for that,
yes.
You know, and they needed somebody to kind of start that war a little bit at times, because they're getting plunked left or right and start wondering, like, man, is there anybody that's willing to show some sort of fire out there at times? Look, first of all, let me say, it still doesn't sit right with me that Freddie's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, that was kind of a move that I didn't feel was needed. We'll see. I'm not around those guys as often as the people upstairs are, but that one was one that was a little bit of an eyebrow raiser to me. I mean, I guess it's his fault that they didn't win a playoff game last year or the year before that, I guess. But in terms of the veteran leadership, look, you know, they've had that. They have had that with guys like Austin Hayes in there, and Chirinos, you know, himself has been a part of that. McCann, Cedric Mullins, who's still there, and some of these veteran pitchers that they brought in on some of these one-year deals, and they've all been really good for that. So I am a little surprised that they haven't felt the need to kind of, you know, go get that guy. And maybe they feel like Charlie Morton is, because like I said, it's been pitchers like Jordan Lyles that came in there, and it fit him really well, and other guys as well. Gibson was the other guy I was really thinking about too. So maybe they feel like they have that. And then you have some of these young guys like Jordan Westberg, who he has kind of that a more mature beyond my years kind of mentality about himself. So I could get it. I would have liked to have still seen them go out there and get more experience just to help them with what their biggest issue has been in the playoffs, which has been their offense. Just somebody that's used to taking playoff at bats and kind of fleshing the bat one that they had at the plate appearance before that and moving on. I don't know. I do think that their youth is a little bit of an issue, which conveniently enough is a big reason of the optimism as well. So I'm kind of strapped in for this roller coaster ride, just like you guys.
Cordell, when are you back? Are you with Ben this week? What's your schedule?
Yeah, me and Ben, we're back Thursday and Friday night this week. So we'll be able to react to the presses tomorrow with John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta, see what they do say. And we'll see what else goes on, because it's been a weird offseason to this point already.
It sure has. Stay away from the marching band, though. Cordell, jeez. Thanks. thanks, as always, for your time. We appreciate it. We will talk soon.
All right, guys.
Coming up next, we'll get back to the Terps and just how good is this team. We're going to tell you next.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Hear some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next here on The Fan. Terps are 16th in the country in today's poll that came out. They are also sitting on the four line for a lot of college basketball insiders. They have a shot to win the Big Ten regular season, are in great shape to be a top four seed and get the double bye. Heck, even people on Coca-Cola Drive are aware of just how good this Terps team is.
Stuck in traffic, as always.
Yeah. So, Jason, how good is this basketball team right now?
I mean, I think... And we'll know a little bit more by, you know, Wednesday night. But I think they're as good as anybody in the Big Ten. This thing has ebbed and flowed. And we're kind of back where we started, where Sparty won 13 in a row. And then Sparty dipped a little bit because the schedule got tougher. And then Sparty came back and spanked Michigan when it looked like Michigan was about to be the team to beat. But they've got to come here where the Terps have one loss, and that loss wasn't in conference, right? That was Marquette.
Yep.
Very early in the season. And will Izzo be able to slow this thing down and turn it into a little bit more of a foul line game? I mean, maybe. Maybe. He's a master. He's a tactician, and I'm sure he'll have a plan. He doesn't have the more talented roster. He doesn't have a home court advantage. He does have the officials in his back pocket. So those are just the realities.
It's like playing Duke.
He does check some boxes. You know, would you rather have them off of a tough loss to Michigan or off of the win? I guess you'd probably rather have them off the win. And like, I don't know. I mean, Illinois is completely falling apart. Purdue's completely falling apart. Wisconsin looks pretty legit. UCLA, I think, is still pretty legit.
Wisconsin blew that game against Oregon this weekend. That was ugly.
Yeah. And tonight, Michigan goes to Nebraska. And I bring this up because all the books are telling you that this is a trap game for Michigan, and this is a chance for the Cornhuskers, who have now dipped in form after a run. This is a Cornhuskers team that very recently, within a month, has lost at home to Rutgers and USC. They're telling you that the Huskers are going to win this game. And if they do, the books are right, then I will be wrong because I like Michigan. But if they're right, the door could be even more ajar for the Maryland Terrapins to make a real run at the one seed in this conference.
It would be wide open at that point because obviously you're playing Michigan State on Wednesday, and then Michigan State plays Wisconsin. They still have to play Michigan to end the regular season. And if you're Maryland, you're saying, how good are they? If you win these next couple of games, you beat Michigan and Michigan State, there's no argument that they're the best team in the Big Ten.
Penn State in between, but yes.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying over the next couple of games.
Yeah. I would love to win the Big Ten, but I would settle for a top four seed in the double bye. And, you know, right now they hold the hot tiebreaker for Wisconsin, the tiebreaker for UCLA. As Jason mentioned, Purdue seems to be falling apart, but they're only a half game back at the moment. So if they can right that ship, they still could thwart things for Maryland. But yeah, you beat Michigan State on Wednesday night, and then you take care of business at Penn State on Saturday, you've put yourself in excellent position. Even if you lose at Michigan, you beat Northwestern to close it, you're probably getting a top four seed.
Yeah, because at that point, you have the tiebreaker over Michigan State. You already have it over Wisconsin. You already have it over UCLA.
You get Northwestern senior night. Yeah, I mean, people should be fired up for that. Northwestern, since the kid Boldenhoser or whatever got hurt, they've fallen apart. Like, they're playing out the string. So if you win your home games and show up and beat a bad Penn State team, you'll set yourself up to, you win a game in the Big Ten tournament, you're definitely going to be a top four seed.
So are you daring to dream about the big tournament?
The problem with the big tournament is it's done by humans, and humans have inherent biases, and I don't like, are they going to be playing in Spokane and then Denver or something like that? You know what I mean? Like, I got to see the bracket. I got to see what they spew out before I know. Like, that's everything.
Mm-hmm. But we've been saying this for a few weeks. If they don't make it to the second weekend, it's a disappointment.
Sure.
At this point, the expectations are that.
Ben, and correct me if I'm wrong, the last few years they've kind of switched, at least in the first round. You could be in the Western region but be playing in the East because they've made this whole pod situation early. So, like, that, like, even if Maryland gets sent out west, they could be, because they remember we had who's our friend from CBS who does sideline for both basketball and football?
Evan Washburn.
And he's like, remember, we had him on last year, and he's like, well, the first round, I'm not exactly sure what we got going on, because we got this East regional game here and this West regional game here. So they, like, pot it now. So early on, that could help Maryland at least in the first two rounds, even if they got sent out west.
Well, I don't care what they want to call it. I'm just talking about, where are they playing?
Yeah.
Are they playing in Newark, New Jersey, or are they playing in California?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Are they losing 2 days in travel, or are they up there in 2 hours on a train? Are they in Providence, or are they in Albuquerque? I don't know.
Ben, how are you feeling right now about this team?
I feel pretty damn good. For a while, I tried to, like, the season early in the year, I was balled in, and then they kind of slowed down. I was like, do not get your hopes up. But it's hard not to right now when you watch this team, and then you watch every other team in the country play. And you go back to the Oregon and Washington struggles, and we're seeing a lot of teams throughout the Big Ten, throughout all of college basketball, have those right now. Meanwhile, the Terps got those out of the way at the start of Big Ten play. You hope that this, you know, ride can continue and don't slip up, you know, at Penn State or one of those, or they're not going to lose at home to Northwestern on senior day, but you hope they don't have a slip up here or there. The starting five is a top three starting five in the country. The bench has some concerns, but again, I said a while ago that the second weekend was my hope. And Tim just said the point, like, with how they play, if you don't make the second weekend right now, everybody's furious.
Yeah. Terps continue their season Wednesday, hosting Michigan State. It's a 6:30 tip. We're doing our show live from Xfinity Center in the Maryland Club. We go to 5:30, and then pregame coverage starts at 5:30 here on The Fan. When we come back, purple rain in the forecast. EDC and Harb speak tomorrow. What do we want to hear from them? What do we expect to hear from them? We'll give you some thoughts next here on The Fan.
And I've already moved on. I've started watching tape. I'm immersed in college and pro scouting right now and talking about contracts and negotiations and different things. And that's one, I think, for me, that's one of the blessings of my job, is it's very seasonal. And I'm in now one of my most favorite seasons, which is the off season, which is not, it's a misnomer, because it's my busiest time of the year. But I love being a part of the solution, and that's what we'll be.
It's Eric DaCosta, end of your press conference. He loves the offseason. The offseason is here. Now, things have sort of changed since that press conference, as this Justin Tucker situation has blown up. Eric's going to talk tomorrow. John's going to talk tomorrow. Jason, what do you expect to hear from them?
Not much. I'm sure they will have their non-statement statements about why they continue to employ and ostensibly stand by their kicker in the face of mounting, maybe evidence is too strong of a word, maybe it's not, certainly anecdotal evidence that he is not someone who is doing the kind of things that I would think any professional sports team would want to have one of their players doing. That's a national story. And these events are different. Like, you've got people that they will pretty much credential anybody to one of these combines now. So there's people who don't have to deal with the Ravens on a regular basis who may be willing to ask questions, or maybe more willing to not take no for an answer when they say, I'm not going to say anything else about that. There's other people who say, well, you're standing here and you're in front of media and nobody made you do it, and this is what people want to know about, and we don't think that answer was satisfactory. Like, it could go that way. I mean, a lot of this is performance art, especially as we start to tiptoe towards draft season where they don't want to tip their hand. But look, does their tone change at all about Ronnie Stanley? We all read the room already in a way that we thought he's gone. It may be even, to those who still think maybe not, I got a feeling by noon tomorrow, it might be even more clear that, you know, Ronnie Stanley's probably not back here. And maybe we'll be able to read some tea leaves on Mark Andrews' future here, the way they speak about a potential likely extension or a potential Kohler extension might lead us down a road, at least as we put our sort of, you know, Encyclopedia Brown hats on and read between the lines. I think in the past when he talks about position groups, there are kernels in there that he leaves some sort of nuggets behind that you go back and you re-listen to it and you reread the quotes and you watch how they've acted over the years. And it might be a tell or two in there. I hope his tenor changes on what we just heard right there, which is a little bit of like, well, how we're doing it is basically good enough. I mean, you know, like we've got things we believe in, and I love this time of year because I can make the team better. But this thing in Philadelphia is looking pretty real. I mean, they didn't lose a game this year when A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts played football. And the Kansas City Chiefs have lost two games with Patrick Mahomes on the field since Christmas Day of 2023. I don't know. Like, I don't know where this owner is. I don't know how committed he is. I don't know what kind of cash budget Eric DaCosta has. I think we'll hear them hide behind the salary cap quite a bit. They love to do it. I don't hear the Eagles do that. I don't really hear the Chiefs do that. You hear the Bengals do it. That's why Joe Burrow's running around.
Burrow knows the cap.
He's a capologist.
Maybe Joe Burrow will speak tomorrow. Duke Tobin will say, no, here, Joe Burrow's going to speak. He's got a plan for how we can convince the owners to spend the money to do what they can do. They just either want to do it or they don't. I'd like to see them be a little bit more pot committed to adding quality, elite quality, especially along that D line, to try to get them over the top, not just be in the mix of the five or six teams that have a chance to win a Super Bowl. I don't think, unless they have one hell of a draft that adds bite to that defense, that they're going to be able to run it back with Van Noy and Owe and that be good enough.
No, definitely not. But you've been so close, and you've lost in so many different agonizing ways over the past handful of years in the postseason. It's how do you get over the top? What can you do differently? How do you operate differently this offseason in order to put yourself over the top? And you have a ton of draft picks. I would start with there if you want to hide behind the cap. I also would like to hear Eric DaCosta. I think he touched on a little bit during the season-ending press conference, but a possible Lamar Jackson extension. I'm not expecting him to say all that much. I'm not expecting him to say all that much in general tomorrow, but I do want to hear how they carry themselves with this Justin Tucker news, because this obviously is the first time that EDC and John Harbaugh are speaking on the record on it, and maybe they just give some blanket statement and they don't take questions on it, but I think that would be telling as well.
Well, as Jason said, they might take questions anyway. It's just a matter of whether they choose to answer them, because you've got guys they're, it's a weird, you know better than me, Jason, but just talking to people, it's a weird situation at the combine, because you got the fantasy football people, and then you've got people that are never get to talk to this team that might take that as an opportunity.
And you have all the national reporters there too.
Look, you don't think that one of the Browns reporters is going to stake this out and say, hey, a couple years ago you were taking victory laps when Jimmy Haslam did business with Deshaun Watson, and you wrapped yourself up in some zero tolerance policy that supposedly made you holier than thou. How do you justify that with the way you've handled your situation with your kicker, where you can't even bring yourself to make a statement that says we at least kind of sort of believe these women, or we don't see why 16 women would independently have horrible, disgusting stories about our kicker that reached a level where two establishments, high-end establishments in this greater Baltimore area, had to banish him?
Well, their silence basically says they believe their kicker. Like that's
they're
the
standing
only
by him. There's yes. no two. There's yes. no two ways. This is part of their brand now. Yeah. They own this. They're with him. They didn't say anything when he put out his cockamamie statement. They didn't say anything as it went from 3 to 7 to 10 to 12 to 16. So they're clearly okay with this.
Well, their silence, as many people have stated in the last couple of weeks, the silence speaks volumes.
It's deafening.
And be interesting to see what, if anything, they have to say tomorrow. We will play you Most of what John and Eric have to say on tomorrow's program. We will come back, get the text of the day. We will preview tomorrow's show, and we'll get you ready for Infinity Sports Radio. That's coming up at 6 here on The Fan. No Orioles baseball today. They were rained out, assuming they get it in tomorrow, according to our friend Rock Abadka from Masson. Both Charlie Morton and Dean Kramer will pitch in tomorrow's game.
Dean Kramer, the soul of the Baltimore Orioles.
Can we get a mic in front of Mean Dean? We haven't heard from Mean Dean since spring training started.
Hope springs eternal.
He'll speak tomorrow.
I don't think Mean Dean wants to say what he's really thinking.
He'll speak tomorrow. We'll see what he, like Harbs and EDC, he might not say much, yeah. But he will speak.
Much like Corbin Burns barely talked to the Orioles' other pitchers. I don't know that Dean Kramer's going to have a whole lot to say about this Tommy Pham-less offseason.
Mean Dean would like Tommy Pham.
I don't know. We'll never know.
That's a good question. Good point.
I don't know if Mean Dean wanted Tommy Pham.
He might have appreciated it in the long term.
Yeah. I think if they got Tommy Pham, he needed two lockers. And you need to keep Colton Cowser on the other side of the locker room from him. The geography of where they placed him would have been critical. Maybe Freddy Gonzalez and Hyder would have had it. They would have had a handle on it.
Maybe you put Pham next to Cowser on purpose.
I don't think so.
And maybe tough love.
I think a little distance.
Scared straight.
Scared straight.
I think. What, are you going to have roommates on the road?
Yeah. Well, we're past that.
Yeah,
that would be great.
Those days don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
But maybe you kick it old school.
Fun. Yeah. You got a roommate.
Yeah, everybody's got their room, but hey, Cowser Pham wants to stay with you on the road.
He wants to hang. Reminder with
the cosplay at the Bronx never happens with Tom on Tommy Pham's watch. I can guarantee you that.
Maryland plays Michigan State on Wednesday. We will be broadcasting live from the Xfinity Center. Sounds like it's going to be a packed house for Maryland and Michigan State. That's a 6:30 tip, which means we're done at 5:30 because pregame coverage right here on The Fan starts at 5:30. So already
is that Popo? That's not you this time?
That's Popo, yeah.
We got the big leagues.
Yeah. Yeah.
They weren't letting Chi-Chi do the Sparty game.
No.
Although you got Marquette, which was a surprise.
I did, but
I think Popo was on assignment.
He was on assignment that night, yeah. I think that was still high school football season, maybe.
There was something going on.
Yeah, I think that was early, so it was still high school football.
And it was early in the year, and they said, we'll settle for the C team.
Yes. Yeah, that's when I get the call. Let's get the text
and
today.
Alex might be phasing you out.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Check 1-2. Check.
Text of the day is sponsored by Oarsman Automotives. Driven by OarsmanCars.com, your trade is always worth more at Oarsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OarsmanCars.com. Text of the day comes from Thomas and Towson.
You okay, Ben?
Wally Pip!
Man, really? Knocked Ben out in that one. Jason, you're making him laugh more than Brian Kenny.
Brian Kenny is a big fan of yours. Yeah.
The Shredder loves me.
Text of the day comes from Thomas and Towson, who says, super upset the O's game got rained out today. O'Neal and Adley were going to make their first appearances, two of the guys I'm most looking forward to watching this spring.
Well, here's the good news. They play again tomorrow.
The sun will come out tomorrow.
It should down there.
Baseball is its own entity in that they play every damn day. So while they haven't played in the first two games, they were scheduled to play today. I would assume they're going to play tomorrow. Now, remember when you assume sometimes
where
you
where is tomorrow, though? Do those guys have to go on the road now, or is this what? This is another home. Sarasota?
I think it's another Sarasota.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You don't want, Adley, you don't want him riding buses.
No.
Not your 1-1. He's beyond that.
He did enough sitting last year. Let's get him on the field. Get him on the field.
No B games for him.
No. Maybe he should play a little B game.
Well, that's what I was inferring.
Yeah. Bone.
We do have an ongoing poll for this week's Bone Work. In our ongoing quest to make Tim Barbalace, a.k.a. T-Bone, more well-rounded, we have another assignment for him in the next week. Which of the following should he accomplish in the next 7 days? IA 105.7 is how you can vote on this poll. Over 100 in. It's going to be speed dating. 55.4%.
They know what you need.
Next closest is pottery class at 18.8. So that,
which they, even that's got potential.
Yeah. Oh, I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Playing a college band, 13.9%. Crash a college lecture, 11.2%.
I mean, these are all things that I think at some point in time.
The college
I
band
think by opening day,
to...
okay, I'd say by opening day, three of these four are accomplished.
Yes.
Okay. Right? That's fair. That's a fair timeline.
I think so.
We got a month. Yeah, we have a month. I think I should assign you guys something next time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think turn the tables.
That's perfect.
I already know what it's
something
going
to watch that we've never heard of.
And then we already also know in our quest to put one of your long-term assignments that you have avoided for years behind us.
What?
That first home Friday, the O's play an afternoon game, and we will broadcast from Pickles.
I think it's Thursday, but still. We will absolutely.
I think
do
it's
it.
Friday.
Well, if it's opening day, it's Thursday unless it gets rained out, and then they're off on Friday.
I don't think.
That's usually how they do
I
that.
I looked at the schedule. I'm pretty sure this is a Friday where they have an afternoon game.
Okay.
And we'll be up against the game, but the game will be over by like 4.
Uh-huh.
And then after the game, Bone. Per Pickles signing off on this, and I have no reason to think they won't, Bone will be guest bartending at Pickles after that game.
We'll ask Tom. He will probably give us the okay. He should wear...
I can't imagine that he wouldn't sign off on this.
No, I would think so. I would think he'd be good.
It's going to bring a huge crowd.
And we will, we'll be able to, in real time, critique the Bone's prowess behind the bar.
Bone, I am curious.
I've bartended before at weddings.
Oh,
at
nice.
Weddings when I was
Well, you were in the catering biz.
Yes,
there
I
you go.
In the catering biz. Yeah, I mean, I've bartended.
It's in the biz.
I've done it.
If I said to you, which is the thing you'd most want to do of the four things in the poll, which would that be?
Most want to do. I think the pottery class would be fun. I was looking forward, because we were talking about this prior to the show, crashing a college lecture. I would have done the movement for
men.
We'll
do that. You can, I mean, again, don't think you're off the hook.
I think doing movement for men again would be a lot of fun.
I think you would enjoy
it. I think my old professor Vincent would love it.
Yes.
And I think we could get him on.
Yes.
He could critique me. I think that would be great as well.
Bone, what do we have?
The home opener is on a Monday.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's a Thursday that the day game is. I was just checking it. Tomorrow.
Thursday, April 3rd. That's Bone Day.
Bone Day.
Matt Norlander, who he was the one for CBS Sports who put out the piece on Derek Queen last week, in which Kevin Willard gave the great quote saying if he was a European white guy, he would be number one.
First pick in the draft.
Rita Hubbert will be joining us as well. And Jacob Calvin Meyer, part of the newest Inside Access Hall of Fame class, will make his first appearance since giving
since
the
call. Since texting me over the weekend. He is very...
does he know that
word,
you didn't
the word
get
traveled
it?
Fast. He was very aware right away in Sarasota. And I think...
we did tweet.
He feels
we tagged him.
He feels as swelled up with pride about this as he should.
Did you respond no thanks to me?
Vote for him.
Yes. Did you respond no thanks to me?
I made him earn it.
Didn't even make the cut. Yeah.
You don't want to just you want to earn it.
Yeah. Remember how burnt Bobby D was that I had him second?
Yes. He had a point.
Yeah. No, that
is very upset.
You didn't have him, you didn't have Jacob at all. Hey. That's it for us.
Got in.
Yeah. Tim Murray barely. Yeah.
Hey, Infinity Sports Radio coming up next.
Again,
we'll be back tomorrow, too, here on The Fan.